back to the real thing tonight. The Athletics are in town. I don't like the fact that we can't give them a city, but, you know, they don't have one. I guess you can't call them Oakland if they left, and you can't call them Sacramento if they're not going to be there, and you can't call them Las Vegas if they're not there yet.
Who's your favorite all-time Athletic?
I'll say Reggie Jackson, okay, just because it was Reggie Jackson.
Yeah.
And you'll love this. Little cubby reporter, Phelps, working for the Kent State, you know, radio station. Bob DiBiasio of the Indians,
sure,
and now of the Guardians. Bob, longtime communications executive, was nice enough to give me passes back in the day when I was in college. I don't think Bob even remembers that, but he gave me passes back in the day. And Tom, we know at batting practice, you used to be able to hang out
on the cage.
Yeah. And, you know, little cubby reporter, I've got my little Panasonic tape recorder and my little plastic microphone, right? I'm going to get sound and talk to guys. And I walked up to Reggie Jackson.
Oh, I love this.
My first approach for it. I'm ready to go. Mr. Jackson, can I speak to you for a moment? My name is Jeff Phelps. I'm with the Kent State radio station. Can I speak to you? No.
Thank you, interview.
Mr. Jackson. And I thought, I got broken in by Reggie Jackson.
Did you have a second approach or did you just let it go?
No, that was it for him.
Oh, that's funny.
I was done with him.
Yeah, those were the glory days, right? You could literally hang on the cage.
Oh, yeah.
And some guys would do their interview with you right there.
Well, they're taking BP.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you would at least, like you said, approach them and say, can I talk to you? Yeah, can
exactly.
we go in the dugout or in the clubhouse or whatever? Yeah. I love that. I tell you, I was so spoiled when I broke in with UPI. In the 80s, and I covered the Mets and the Yankees. I would be at the old Yankee Stadium, leaning on that cage,
great
talking.
Venue.
Oh, it was the best. I just love
that. And that was kind of the way baseball worked then. It doesn't work that way now.
No, they wouldn't even let us on the grass anymore.
No, there were, and we, you and I have done this for way too long, so we have too many stories like this. But I was always impressed by two guys who did something that I thought was really, they didn't have to do. Where I'm down at the old stadium, and I was working at Channel 43 at the time. And, you know, I had checked with a guy, hey, can we talk to you later? And, you know, because they're doing BP. When you're doing BP, yeah, sure, no problem. And when they got done with BP, I was talking to somebody else because, you know, we're trying to do our job. And two guys I will always remember stood there and waited for me. One was Joe Carter.
Love it.
The other was, in his very short stint as a member of the Cleveland Indians, Terry Francona.
Shocking.
Yeah. And I just thought,
that guy?
It was really nice of you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I know. Listen, for as many knuckleheads as there are out there, there's some really good guys, especially in baseball. And that's why I enjoyed covering that sport more than the others because, to your point, Jeff, the access was so good. And you could just sit in the dugout and shoot the breeze with people.
And they... It wasn't like you were intruding, Tom.
No,
that's where baseball put you and wanted you.
Exactly.
That was the weird thing.
I tweeted this the other night, and just because you brought up the All-Star game, and by the way, we can talk about the conclusion of that game here at some point. I'm still trying to figure out the penalty shootout. Joe Torre, I was lucky enough, privileged enough to cover the Yankees in the mid-90s when he was a manager there. And Joe Torre would hold court in the dugout before every game, once we got done with the normal questions about, you know, today's starting pitcher and this, that, and whatever Yankee crisis of the day was going on, Joe Torre would just hold court and talk about, like, the glory days of New York baseball, about, you know, growing up rooting for the New York Giants and going to the Polo Grounds and all that. And I would just sit there, it just transfixed. And really grew to appreciate him and what a good person he is. And it was so great to see him on the field the other night. I didn't know.
Aaron Boone sent him out for a pitching change.
I think today's his 85th birthday, as a matter of fact.
Is it really?
Yeah. Mm.
Well, I wouldn't have guessed he was 85.
Same.
By the way he walked out
on
the field.
I know. Where did those 25 years go, by the way?
I don't know. Hit 363 to win a batting title for the Cardinals back in the day.
Very nice. Third baseman, number 9.
After being a catcher in Atlanta, and it's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Now he's hitting 363. Good for him.
So we got the guards going into a second half.
Way to veer us back onto the path.
Yeah, let's get
Tom.
Back
well
onto
done. Thank you. Thank you very much. Menigan just pointed at me like, oh, Phelps derailed the show.
Yeah. So,
hold on. Let's find. Let's hit the calendar. This doesn't happen very often.
As we mentioned earlier,
at least it was baseball.
Before we got on the Reggie Jackson tangent, there, the schedule was favorable here for the guards. Right, they get the A's coming out of the gate.
Yeah.
You know, to your point that you mentioned earlier, got to hit the ball. I mean, there have been too many games here over the last month where, whether I started watching the game early or not, I would tune in the fourth or fifth inning, and then the Guardians were either being no hit or shut out by Aaron Civale or name your pitcher of the day. So they got to get production, Jeff, as you mentioned before, from those guys, those young guys that you're counting on, right? Mm-hmm. The Nolan Jones, Daniel Schneeman, you know, Gabe Arias, who's playing pretty well until he got hurt. You know, when he comes back up here, I don't know if we're going to see Juan Brito or not, but he's another guy that kind of got sidetracked here, a guy they were counting on.
I mentioned him the other day, Dan and I. Was it yesterday, Daniel? Yeah, it was yesterday. Thank you very much. There was just so much good stuff. You know, I couldn't remember what day it was, where we looked at guys who we thought, you know, had the best first half for hitters or pitchers, could be the guy in the second half, might be the guy coming up from the minors who could help. I put Juan Brito as my guy who might be the most likely guy to have an impact in the second half, who's in the minors now. And the reason why was he's at second base, and it's wide open. I know Schneeman's been terrific. I want Daniel as my super utility guy. I think he's done a fine job, but I want him to get plenty of at-bats filling in all over the place. I don't know if it's going to be Gabe Arias or if it's going to be Rocchio, but they need to find out what they have in Juan Brito, because Bazana's on the way.
Yeah.
If Bazana doesn't get here, they really screwed up. And so we assume he's going to get here, and I would assume it's next year. But I would think they'd like to get Juan Brito some major league at-bats.
I think he was the short-term plan, Jeff, heading into this season
before the injuries happened.
So, he's a guy they got to get a quick look at. You know, you mentioned Rocchio before. I was really intrigued with the way he played down the stretch here in the first half.
He got better, didn't he?
Yeah, good at-bats.
After coming back from Columbus.
You know, played well in the field. You know, it's no different than what happened to Kyle Manzardo last year, right? I mean, they brought him up, wasn't ready, you know, needed to kind of get, you know, knocked back into whatever, headed back down to Columbus, figured some things out, came back and was a different ball player and has been productive. He's another guy, Jeff, that they got to get a little bit more out of, right? I mean, if you're going to be competitive, mm-hmm. if you're going to hang in this wild card race, which I don't see any reason why they shouldn't. Now, granted, there's a good chance. There's a half dozen teams all in the same ballpark, so to speak. They're going to be competing for those spots. But I think they'll hang around. I do. I think that there's no reason why this team should not get back to 500 or above here in pretty quick order. And then, you know, listen, you're in August. You're playing competitive games. That's all you can ask for as a fan.
What should Steven Vogt do? And then ultimately, what should the front office do with Nolan Jones, who has hit? And I hated when they traded Nolan Jones for Juan Brito.
Same.
Because you don't have this type of player. At least find out if he can do something. And then he did in Colorado. He hasn't since that one good year. Yeah. He's come back here. To me, he's been nothing but a puzzle that I want to see get finished off.
There's been flashes.
Yeah. He's only 3 home runs.
Right.
Which is not what you expect.
Should have a dozen.
His batting average was atrocious, but it's gotten better every month, Tom. What do they do with him right now?
Keep playing him.
I think so, too.
Yeah, keep giving him at-bats.
Steady at-bats. I'd like to see him play every day.
Now, I think to your point, Jeff, I think you look at him, I think, as maybe some front offices around baseball would look at him, like an intriguing guy.
I think he really is, Tom. And the fact that they've played him in center field and he hasn't looked atrocious.
I think he looks good in the outfield.
It adds to his versatility.
Yeah.
He hasn't played it. He came up as an infielder, and he hasn't really done that here. He's been nothing but an outfielder since he's come back.
He's had some big hits.
Yeah.
Especially over the last month or so.
Hits it hard.
He's one of those guys, though, Jeff, for whatever reason, and we've seen this over the years, he goes into those bad funks of 0 for 18, yeah. 2 for 26, and he just can't seem to get anything going. Now, and Schneeman's the same way, where they kind of hit the ball on the screws a few times and just had no luck for it, right?
Yeah.
You know, Jones comes across to me like that. And I was kidding about the 5-iron stinger before, but it seems to me like if Nolan Jones would just get a little more launch angle, there's some power production, I think, that can happen there. I mean, he pulls the ball down the line every once in a while, can go the other way when he needs to. I think he's a pretty good hitter, but, you know, I look at him much like I do with Bo Naylor. I always want more because I think there's more there.
Yeah, I think there is.
I think he's a guy that could hit 260 consistently.
He's out of options, Tom.
That's the other thing.
They're not going to send him down. I think he has to hit for more power. Maybe it's as simple as launch angle. If it is, fix it. It's the All-Star break.
Right.
Fix it. If he doesn't, I wonder what they do with him because I think he's completely on a 1-year trial.
I'm with you. And I think, listen, we got the trade deadline coming up. I think that's a name that could, you know, like I said, I think there's front offices that look at him the same way that you and I do, that there's still potential there. He's still young enough. There's still a lot to work with.
6'6", athletic and powerfully built.
Plug him in.
Sorry, I want those guys.
Yeah. Give me a half dozen.
Tom, they just drafted a handful of those guys.
They certainly did. Yeah.
I mean, that's what they drafted.
Including
Nolan Jones.
Lord Tubington. We didn't get to talk about that guy yet. Yeah. I've Jones was that guy, right? He was that unicorn for a few years, wasn't he? He was the guy in the minor leagues. You were like, okay.
Can't wait to see him.
Wait till Nolan Jones gets here, right? He was the Chase Dunlauter. So, I'm with you. And I think, again, for things to go well for this Guardians team in the second half, that's what they're going to need. They're going to need the Nolan Joneses of the world to get going.
They also might need the front office to make a move you might not want to make. Trade deadline is 13 days away, July 31st. Should they or shouldn't they? Tom Withers' thoughts on that, and I think you might know what I'm talking about, coming up on Baskin and Phelps.